That's not the way you do capital improvements to infrastructure that delivers water to citizens, is that politicians decide what is or is not important in delivering the water. The engineers are the ones that make those decisions. That's how we have delivered water from Bull Run for over 100 years.
Thank you all very much for your discussion and testimony. Appreciate it. Who's next?
Are Michael Morgan, Scott Fernandez, Gene Zilberstein, and Dan Bornabes. They'll be followed by Brad Yazzolino, Pat Trice, Nancy Newell, and Jack Wells.
Mr. Morgan? You want to begin? We need a fourth one.
Michael Morgan, Scott Fernandez, Gene Zilberstein, Dan Bornabes. How about Brad Yazzolino?
Brad, go ahead. Oh, you're the camera. Okay. Mr. Morgan?
Yeah. I'm Michael Morgan. Because of the persistent and consistent efforts of New York and President Obama's Executive Order 13563 to modernize our regulatory system and to reduce unjustified regulatory burdens and costs, the Environmental Protection Agency is reviewing the LT2 rule uncovered finished water reservoir requirements. Lisa Jackson, administrator of that agency, communicated to Senator Charles Schumer that Hillview may be an example of a reservoir with specific structural and other characteristics that warrant further review of the need to mandate a reservoir cover. And our congressional delegation asked that Lisa Jackson's team explore whether there are more cost-effective ways to counter the risks of contaminated water, and ask her to consider delaying implementation of the LT2 requirement to cover our reservoirs. Given all these efforts and the LT2 rule review that is underway, there might be a change in the uncovered reservoir requirements. It would not be prudent of Portland to make large and costly structural changes to its drinking water system when these requirements are under review. Furthermore, there is the potential for legislative relief if we work with our congressional delegation. They appear to be willing to take on this task. So I'm asking you to stop all reservoir replacement activities and to support the proposal to cover our reservoirs with Hypalon-like covers so that the functionality of the reservoirs is retained and we will be able to benefit from the review and relief efforts. This compliance strategy would also retain the recent reservoir upgrades. If the reservoirs need additional upgrades, this does not mean they need to be replaced by underground storage. And if the boil water alert requirements are unreasonable and undue, then we can work to get them changed. And perhaps pertinent is that last July, the Portland City Auditor stated that the city's overall financial position has lost ground due to the growing debt, unfunded liabilities, and funding gaps in maintaining infrastructure, and the city should take care of current assets before adding more assets.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Scott Fernandez. I'd like to thank Commissioner Fritz for bringing this proposal to the community. This pathway will save the ratepayer money and retain the value of the reservoirs. Instead of adding the reservoir that we don't need, I'd like to see that money spent on deferred maintenance. But going back to the, I do agree with everything that everybody has said previous to me, especially the Regna and Stephanie and Jeff and especially Kent. What Kent said is actually so true that it just is unbelievable that you guys don't recognize that there have been obstacles to this process for the last decade by the public. Public information requests have been given a very bad time. We've had very little participation in work sessions time and time again, and it looks like it's going to happen again tomorrow with the fluoridation, that the public will not be able to engage in a work session with you guys, that we can ask our questions and have a meaningful adult dialogue. It hasn't happened. The whole thing, I didn't want to bring this up today because we're talking about a different subject, but the whole thing about the waiver, that has been a squandered opportunity from day one. I know that we did the waiver thing in 2003, but that was a long time ago. when we talked to the EPA. Since then, a lot of information has come up that a waiver is very much available to us because going through the Safe Drinking Water Act. We can do a waiver if you give us the opportunity. We need to aggressively go with our congressional people to get that. It would mean very much to this community, and we deserve it. There's no reason to go on with this project and spend all this hundreds of millions of dollars that we don't need to. We've got bigger things that need to be done in this city, especially with the water system, deferred maintenance. We need to revisit this thing, and I would like to open this thing up again to a whole new work session at some point where the public can be involved and really provide an opportunity to speak. What they said behind me just a minute ago, the public will go along with this Hypalon thing. And this is something that it took a long time for me to get to that position, but I will support what they've said already. We need to revisit this whole thing and get this thing taken care of once and for all and quit wasting money. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. My name is Gene Zilberstein. I'm a 10-year Portland resident. In Portland, we have the privilege of drinking Pure Mountain water that's fed to open-air reservoirs. The system has been in place for 125 years, and it's working. My child is not afraid to drink the water out of the tap. The reservoirs are functioning well, and you're now considering destroying this unique system with our money. A recent poll shows that the community does not support new water construction projects, and they prefer maintenance of the system over new construction. As the LT2 ruling is currently being reviewed by the EPA, and we don't know where that process is going to go, this is a good time to wait and see if we really need to invest millions in this project. Putting Hypalon covers on the reservoirs gives us time to comply right now. I'm asking for a pause before irreversible steps are taken to decommission the reservoirs. They're historic. They're icons of our city. They're part of keeping our water safe to drink. Forging ahead with this project, Portland Water Bureau is ignoring the political will of the people and eroding the trust we have put in this council. The majority of the neighborhood groups are against decommissioning our reservoirs. What you're about to destroy is precious, and for 100 years it has served us well. Let's give our democratic process time to work out the right path forward that will serve our city for another 125 years. Thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. Hello.
Hello. I'm Brad Yazzolino. I think that earlier today I heard something that stuck in my mind. I believe it was you, Commissioner Fish, that said, the time has come to link arms and do something different. So, I am opposed to fulfilling this contract or voting for this contract today because, in effect, this $57 million contract begins an almost irreversible process that is stupid for Portland to do. The voting for the Hypalon type covers and installing them and going that direction will wisely and frugally slow down and potentially derail what will be the destruction of Portland's historic and proven safe uncovered reservoir water system. That time is the important thing there. It's worked for so long, and it's a brilliant idea. And it doesn't need a lot of oppressive corporate involvement altering our water. And I have nothing against business. We all know it's what makes the world go round. But the Water Bureau always wants to start building every bit of needless infrastructure that gets suggested. I first heard about this 10 years ago. And Portland City Water, you ask why we haven't been effective in our legal search for some sort of relief. Well, the reason is partly because the City Water Bureau doesn't want to do it at all. You know, Portland City Water engineers look up to the global water industry, and they wish Portland was more a part of it. That is what the smart career-minded water bureaucrats would desire. But that is not what is actually needed, and or is it good for Portland's water system? Portland is a beacon to the world about how to collect water. I've said that so many times here, but it's true. We collect water in a brilliant way that does not require a lot of treatment. And the EPA came up with their silly law for what, no, who knows what revolving door reason. And the EPA law, if you read the old original, it was they had a lot of animosity towards Portland when they wrote that, when they judged that, the three-panel judge in D.C. Then the EPA, I was in the meeting, the private meeting that I was not allowed to film, when the EPA first met with the city of Portland, I believe, or one of the bigger first meetings, and the EPA, you could just, they were dripping with an opposition to the mere idea that Portland would want to not cover its reservoirs. These people are marching in lockstep, sort of, because it's the public health career persons. It's a mandate that they must do. We all know they've got to present what is the usual and easy to grasp idea for public health. What Portland does is we have got sunlight in our water, we've got clean water, and we've proven that it works, and it's an age-old system. And to destroy it is a monumental tragedy. So that's my point, and I agree that with a little education, the city of Portland will enjoy having those hypalon covers on there instead of spending all this money and wasting it.
Thank you. All right, is that everyone?
No, we
got more?
Yes, the next four are Pat Trice, Nancy Newell, Jack Wells, and Michael Mio. And the last three who signed up were after them will be Herschel Soles, Catherine Knotson, and Steve Keller.
Hi, welcome.
We should have Pat Trice, Nancy Newell, Jack Wells, and Michael Mio. Let's go ahead.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead with Herschel Soles, Catherine Knotson, and Steve Keller. Please come on up if you're here.
Why don't you go ahead and begin, sir?
Oh, thank you, Mayor Adams. My name is Michael Mayo, and I am the secretary of the Eastside Democratic Club. We voted not long ago to add our small endorsement to the proposal to put a plastic sheet covering the reservoirs. I quite agree with Mayor Adams that there's no reason not to call it a plastic sheet covering the reservoirs, and I agree with Mr. Saltzman, and I think other testifiers have done so, that that's going to mean that there's going to be some community opposition on aesthetic grounds. I'm a little bit feeling, and I've got, 2 minutes and 27 seconds to say this, but I'm way outweighed by the people who have come before me in terms of my preparation for doing things, but I do want to speak to Commissioner Leonard. The last time I was here, there was a guy beside me who was not, let's put it this way, he showed a lack of restraint in his testimony, and I apologize for that. You have told us that you did everything you could the last time I was here, and you laid it out for us, in order to avoid this requirement, which people are referring to with two alphabetic letters and one number. I'm not familiar with that myself, but that's what everyone uses. You had said at that time that the last remaining thing you were supposed to do was civil disobedience. You said you might do that as an individual, but as an elected official, you're obliged to more or less carry out the will of the whole structure as a whole. And I recognize that we've got to have a balance in everything we do, and I applaud Commissioner Leonard, you're stepping forward on a leadership basis and getting clean, portable restrooms on the streets of Portland. That's really something that everyone who sympathizes with the working people of America, really we needed it. Thank you. But that being said, did not Amanda Fritz offer a letter this month to the council that asked the council to commit Portland to urging our delegation to ask EPA release requirements? And Did you not refuse to sign that letter, and isn't that why the letter didn't go forward?
We have sent that letter numerous times to the entire congressional delegation and specifically to Senator Merkley. I've flown back to Washington, D.C., personally met with our congressional delegation to ask them to do that with Sam Adams, when he was commissioner. And what I did not want to do is one more time take and abuse our relationship when the question's been asked and answered a half a dozen times with Senator Merkley. He has been such a great advocate for us. And I wouldn't sign the letter to ask him to do it one more time, because I understand in politics that it's important to be respected and influential. And when you ask a question of an agency and you're given an answer and you keep asking it over and over, they begin ignoring you. So no, I wouldn't ask him to ask it one more time.
That does appear to me, I'm just, as I said, not highly qualified in terms of the history of this, that does appear to me, Mr. Fish, to be an example of not pushing, opposing this as much as possible. I have finished.
Well, she could have sent the letter. They don't need my signature on it. We're all independently elected. They don't need me to sign a letter for them to send it to Senator Merkley. I mean, and since I'm on the subject, I said in the last time we had a hearing here, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't on this subject. And, you know, if I were to come up with a plan to cover the reservoirs with plastic and submit it to the council in 2009, I would have needed a police bodyguard to go home. So now I'm hearing today we weren't given an alternative to have plastic covers on the reservoirs when we should have had that alternative in 2009. That is just, I hardly know how to respond. So, and now you get the luxury of sitting there and saying, I wouldn't sign a letter, therefore I didn't work hard enough to get us excused from LT2. Well, okay, fine. It just doesn't matter at this point. It doesn't matter what's done or what's not done. Those that want to have the reservoirs uncovered will say or do anything or change the fact or take out of context, give you a letter, take a number out, keep it out of context of the other numbers. I'm used to that on this subject. Nobody's going to be happy. We have a rule we have to comply to according to the federal government or be fined. That's being overlooked in this discussion. This will cause us to miss the timeline. We will be fined. We'll have to do it anyway. We'll waste $25 million. We're in the theater of the absurd at this point, folks.
So with that, as the presiding officer of this body, did you have any final thoughts? You have 6 seconds, but I'll give you 15. Any concluding remark?
I already said I was done.
Okay. Hi, welcome.
Hey, it's Herschel Soles. I've been here many, many times here speaking about the reservoirs. One of the things that kind of disturbed me is I've never really been able to hear Randy Leonard articulate what it is we really want. I've heard him say things like, we're going to put a reservoir on top of the tank. That isn't what Friends of the Reservoirs and other people want in Portland. We want the open reservoirs maintained as an integral part of the system. I've never heard that kind of articulated from the board up there.
And I'll give you more time. And why do you want that?
Why do I want it?
Why do you and...
It is a system that has been around for 100 years. I've heard someone say something like, you know, insanity is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different result. But what if you have a system that is 100 years old producing cold, clear, clean water, and someone comes along with this project to spend $50 million, $100 million, $400 million with no benefit, like we've heard tonight? There is no benefit for this spending. It does discredit government. And I think talking about maybe a government regulation, there is a discrepancy between what people want and what is government policy. And it's been kind of ranked worldwide. The U.S. Is 16th in the world as far as kind of representing the will of the people. And I think it's because of corporate domination. And this project here looks like it's kind of a project for corporations. Corporations and capitalism is really in crises right now, and this looks like a little token benefit to have Portland spend a lot of money on a project they don't need, put themselves into debt, so eventually we might have to sacrifice Forest in the Bull Run or just sacrifice the Water Bureau itself, privatize it. Bechtel went down to Cochabamba and took over the water service down there, and of course, supposedly to kind of make it efficient, but of course the water rates went up immediately, and they even...
Sir, I need you to stick to the agenda item. I mean, this isn't about privatization.
Not yet. No. But debt is going to lead to privatization. That's how these big guns work here, sir.
But you need to stick to the agenda item topic.
Okay. I do want the reservoirs. I'm not in full agreement with this pipeline cover. I think they've been working just fine, and to do otherwise would make me a little suspect of the democratic process. Thank you.
Thanks. Hi, sir, ma'am.
I think I was next, but okay. I think he's last. I'm Catherine Knotson, a longtime Portland resident. You've heard my concerns before. I won't repeat history. You know that it's been going on now for almost 43 years that you were told, the city council, your predecessor, was told to cover the open reservoirs as a result of fecal material in them from birds. I've repeated this story many times, as you well know. I want to tell the council, I really appreciate you grilling the Friends of the Reservoirs and the other special interest groups here today, the Portland Water Users Coalition, lobbyists Kent Crayford and all. I'm glad that you're putting their feet to the fire, because when they say what they say about science, they don't cite their sources. Thank you for that. I have given you documented information on the Cryptosporidium in the Bull Run watershed, because I got the report from the author of the report himself, and I even gave it to the PERB. So you know that that exists, and you know that this is cited in the LT2 rule, both in the proposed and final rule. As far as this project for Kelly Butte is today, what should have happened in 2002 is this. The 50-million-gallon tank for Powell Butte should have been buried into the footprint of the Mount Tabor Reservoir 5. This Powell Butte, the Kelly Butte replacement reservoir should have been installed in the north cell of Reservoir 6, and the south cell of Reservoir 6 should have been decommissioned, taken offline. However, it is as it is now. The 50-million-gallon tank is under construction at Powell Butte, and that's what should have been in Mount Tabor, and the Kelly Butte replacement reservoir is going where it is on Kelly Butte. And I support this, because this is the only way we're going to comply with LT2. The Water Bureau signed an agreement March 25, 2009 with the US EPA. We can't change that midstream now. As far as covering the reservoirs now, I'm really surprised that the Friends of the Reservoirs et al. Is saying that we support covering the reservoirs now. And it's not pipeline, it was polypropylene is what was the cover. The pipeline liners are there because the reservoirs leak, and it's to keep the water from leaking out further. And frankly, if you read history, they all were leaking from their construction because the expansion joints weren't covered. And that's why they leaked from the get-go. I personally feel that it's time to stop pussyfooting around, stop the delay tactics, stop all the public meetings. We don't need any more work sessions or public meetings. We need to go forward. Because if we don't, I think we're going to end up with an administrative order from the US EPA or the state OHA drinking water program. Because, you know, they know what's going on with this whole circus, and I think they're just as tired of it as you are and as tired of it as I am. But I think that the LT2 rule, even though it's under review, it will not be completed until 2016, and they will not make changes to it until after it's completely reviewed. And it's one of about 26 rules that they're reviewing right now.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. Oh, one more. I apologize, sir.
He gets one.
Hello, my name is Steve Keller. I'm a resident of the Woodstock Foster Powell neighborhood. I would like to read a list of the community organizations supporting the community alternative into the record. Initial supporters include the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association and the Arlington Heights Neighborhood Association. Additional signers include the mayor's Small Business Advisory Committee, Elisa Kenny Geyer, and then is further supported by Friends of the Reservoirs, members of the Hillside Neighborhood Association Board, Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility, Thomas T. Ward, M.D., Chief of Microbiology at OHSU, Kent Crayford for the Portland Water Users Coalition members, which include ALSCO, American Linen Division, American Property Management, Ashland, Hercules Water Technology, the Benson Hotel, BOMA, Portland, Dara Gold, Harsh Investment, the Hilton Portland and Executive Tower, Mount Hood Solutions, New System Laundry, Portland Bottling, SAPA Inc., Siltronic Corporation, Sunshine Dairy Foods, Vigor Industrial, Widmer Brothers Brewing, Yo Cream, Central East Side Industrial Council, Portland Business Alliance, Audubon Society of Portland, Oregon League of Conservation Voters, Oregon Wild, BARC, Eastside Democratic Club, Alliance for Democracy, Coalition for a Livable Future, and then Anne DeFay for the Southeast Uplift Neighborhood Coalition, representing North Tabor neighborhoods, North Tabor, Mount Tabor, Montevilla, Sunnyside, Buckman, Hosford, Abernathy, Richmond, South Tabor, Foster Powell, Creston, Kenilworth, Brooklyn, Reed, Eastmoreland, Selwood, Woodstock, Mount Scott, Arleta, Brentwood, Darlington, Ardenwald, Johnson Creek, Kearns, and Laurelhurst. Also, Citizens for Portland's Water, Oregon Green Energy Coalition, and Citizens Interested in Bull Run, Inc. I'd like to refer questions to Ms. Floyd Jones.
So you read a list of names of folks that support the plastic cover?
The okay. Community Alternative. It's right. A letter I guess you all have.
Thanks. All right. Thank you all very much. Who else has signed up?
That was all who signed up.
All right. I need to take a 10-minute compassion break, so we're in recess for 10 minutes. So City Council come back from recess, and I wanted to follow up on a series of issues and questions that are raised. It will be a warning. It might be repetitious, but I want to make sure that we have an opportunity to air out some of these issues. So be patient. Director Schaff, do you have any indication or evidence that closed reservoirs cause cancer?
No.
Is there any discussion in industry groups, trade associations, anywhere that radon is a danger in covered reservoirs, cannot be managed safely in covered reservoirs?
No, right now there is no standard on radon. There is a proposed standard. It's been out for a number of years. The City of Portland would currently meet that proposed standard and not have to do anything. But as you probably also know, that radon's only an issue when we're running groundwater. It's not an issue when we're running Bull Run. So it's very easily managed, and it's not an issue as far as we're concerned.
In terms of the so-called hypalong covers, which refers to a type of synthetic rubber or plastic, has there been any studies done on the health impacts of that product?
Not that I'm aware of, but they've been used throughout the country for decades, and our own reservoirs are lined with Hypalon covers, and we've not seen any issues or concerns about that.
You know why DuPont stopped manufacturing it?
No, I don't.
So what you put forward and what Commissioner Leonard has put forward is a combination of risk mitigation posed by the ability of any person to appeal this to appeal the cover issue through the land use process. What you have indicated is the full cost and necessary cost for bringing the reservoirs up to a level of seismic soundness. But you've also heard pushback that couldn't we just cover them without doing the other seismic work?
Yes, and then you take the risk of what happens when you do have the earthquake that we all are expecting and are preparing for. We do not expect the reservoirs would fare very well in their current state. Or you simply defer making that investment, and it'll simply cost more.
How much how many days worth of secured water does Portland have now?
Right now, it's a little over 3 based on our average daily demand in our retail market.
And when we complete Powell Butte, we will have?
Well, we'd have 50 million more. Ultimately, when we're done with with the schedule as we foresee it, we'll have less storage, so it'll be about 2.5 days. But that you have to take into account all the work we're doing on the west side header, which is intended to secure our ability to move water on the west side and deliver it to customers.
So at the end of this, we'll have less secure water than we have now?
No, we'll have much more secure water.
So can you give me what we are now? I know that there'll be some ups and downs, but at the end of the process that you're proposing, how many days of secure water will we have in the end?
Well, we'll have about 2.5 days of water if every source is cut off.
And we have how much now? How many days now?
3.3.
And why is there less?
Because we'll have 50 million gallons less in storage total overall. Keep in mind, as I said, the west side header is intended to provide more secure, more robust, and more reliable water delivery over on the west side. And then, of course, our demand continues to drop.
Okay, so you're saying that at the end of modernizing the system, there'll be more secure water where it needs to be?
Yes.
But it'll be less overall?
Less total storage in town overall, yes.
Okay. Are there any plans in the Bureau, secret plans to privatize the system?
No.
Has Council made any policies we've made it really clear we intend to keep it public for the public.
I think, yeah, the Council has been very clear about that.
Having studied the, do you think that there will be, what is talk in the industry about possible relief on government standards that we heard about some of the testimony that the remediation might come back onto the table, which I think was security and those kinds of
risk mitigation. Is the phrase that was used in the proposed rule. Well, the EPA has not been very forthcoming in what they're looking at and what they're considering. Excuse me. I just think it's unlikely, in my personal opinion, that they will make major modifications to their rule.
Are there any benefits? Part of the testimony, I'd like to hear your response, that there is no benefits to covering the reservoirs. And we argued in front of the federal government that we thought that we had adequacy. They decided, or it was decided otherwise. But that's different than the question of the statement that there are no benefits. Do you see, are there any benefits to closed, secure storage?
There are some, arguably. The question is, of what value, or are they worth the expense that you're going to go through to put them in? Obviously, you won't be able to contaminate the reservoirs as easily. They can be contaminated, but it takes a lot more. Water quality will improve, but from the standpoint of you, a citizen, drinking a glass of water from your tap, you're not going to notice it probably. But
so you and I spent quality time. I know Commissioner Leonard did well as well in the emergency command center on the west side, our new emergency commander on the west side, where we told people to boil water notice. Do you have any idea the economic costs on an hourly basis for the boil water notice?
No, I don't, although when we looked at the 2009 one, there was an estimate of over $1 million.
For that incident?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to destroy the historic reservoirs?
No, and I'm somewhat flummoxed by that argument. The intent, at least behind Washington Park, for the time that I've been the director and that Commissioner Leonard has been my boss, is that when somebody comes to visit Washington Park when we are done, it will look much the way it did when it was originally built in 1895. Right now, it looks like a bathtub with a dirty ring around it.
So are you going to be using the, concrete or stone?
There will be concrete or steel tanks in the footprint of the reservoir that will then be covered, and there will be some amount of water in a reflecting pond type look at it that, for all intents and purposes, looks like the old reservoir.
Are you going to be keeping in place, reusing, or just replicating the, what I call the furnishings around the existing historic reservoirs?
It'll all be preserved as much as possibly existing, and then whatever can't be preserved will be rebuilt to match the current state.
I also heard next on the list that you're going to keep Mount Tabor reservoirs empty.
Well, I don't know what we're going to do with Mount Tabor. In 2015 is when our compliance schedule says that we have to disconnect the Mount Tabor reservoirs. You could certainly keep water in them. You'd probably have to empty that water on a semi-regular basis so that it doesn't go stale, grow algae, that sort of thing.
But we do have choices there.
Right, but they won't be used to store drinking water.
I'm just looking at the appearance, the aesthetic. And then I just wanted to be clear when you said that you're going to keep as much of the existing above ground look and infrastructure, and then you will replicate what you have to destroy?
That's at Washington Park.
Okay, and then at Mount Tabor?
We're not planning on doing any construction at Mount Tabor.
So one of the folks that testified said that we're going to destroy one of the reservoirs at Washington Park. I just wanted to clarify, are we planning to destroy one of the?
That is incorrect. I think what they're confusing is that we will engage in what is. It'll be demolition. We will be taking out the bottom. We'll be taking out the sides of the reservoirs. We'll be doing a lot of work. It'll probably look pretty ugly for a year or so. But at the end, the reservoir should look much the way it did when it was built in 1895.
PERB considered this issue, and what was their recommendation?
Well, their recommendation was to move forward as the compliance schedule that was agreed to in 2009.
What kind of relief did New York City get?
Well, New York has gotten an extension on their current, or what was then current, scheduled to cover Hillview Reservoir. They are still required to cover Hillview Reservoir.
And how long was their extension?
I think it's to 2034. And that was based on the construction schedule of all of the projects that they said that they convinced the EPA needed to be done before they could safely take Hillview offline and build a cover.
Mayor, could I just ask a clarifying question? I really appreciate you going through all these issues. In the information that you gave the council, you said that you plan to remove Washington Park Reservoir number 4.
No, it'll just be removed from service.
So will it be kept empty, or what?
It'll be used. The intent is to use it as an overflow structure. So it will presumably be empty, yes.
Thank you.
The $40 million that some folks who testified said we would be wasting by moving forward with the proposal in front of us, what's your response to that? I mean, I heard from Commissioner Leonard, but I just wanted to make sure that does your response differ from Commissioner Leonard's response?
Well, I did cover it in that 14-page document that I put together. We spent just under $27 million, and most of that work involved work at both reservoirs, at Tabor and at Washington Park. It involved security work, cameras, valves, controls, water quality instrumentations, platforms, a number of different things. But it was not intended to, it was, as Commissioner Saltzman remembers, it was the interim security measures that the council decided on before I became the director and before Commissioner Leonard became the commissioner, pending the final establishment of the LT2 rule.
And I'm almost done. I appreciate everyone's patience in letting me go through this. The option, not the proposal, of secondary treatment noted by the McGuire Environmental in the fact versus myth prepared by the Portland Water users. What do you think about that as an option? How come we didn't pursue it? Can you give me some more detail about your thoughts on that?
The McGuire is the independent review panel treatment at the outlet. We did look at it again. We looked at it back in 2009, and then again we've looked at it a couple of times since then, and I've written a fairly comprehensive outline of what it would take in order to do treatment at the outlet at Mount Tabor, and it would be significantly more expensive than what we're looking at with our current compliance schedule.
And then the last question is, how long do these Hypalon plastic covers last?
They're generally considered 15 to 20 years. We believe that in our environment, probably about 15 is the most we'd be able to get.
Other questions from council? Commissioner Saltzman?
Yeah, I apologize. I might have been a minute late. Did you ask about the seismic issues?
Yeah, but ask not as deeply as you might.
Well, I mean, there's sort of the representation that the seismic issues just kind of cropped up in the last couple weeks, I guess, with respect to Mount Tabor. I mean, have we always known that seismic upgrades would be required for Mount Tabor?
During my life here at the Water Bureau, yes. They're not new issues. Looking at, for instance, Washington Park, it's built on a slide. We know that that slide exists. We have concerns about that slide. Our intent is to deal with the slide issues when we rebuild Washington Park. Mount Tabor, seismic issues have become more and more critical to the city of Portland over the last couple of decades as we've become more and more knowledgeable about the Cascadia subduction zone earthquake potential. So it has been something that Mike has been drumming into me the entire time I've been as the director.
So my last question, when I was Water Bureau Commissioner and we were looking at the issue of complying with LT2 and security issues in general about water supply, we did come up with an option that would have, at Mount Tabor, in essence, put in buried storage tanks and covered it with a surface water feature. That was thoroughly rejected by the neighbors at the time and everybody. So I'm just curious, under this the Renaissance era where Commissioner Leonard assumed control of the Water Bureau, was that option ever looked at again?
We don't
I don't think it was a Renaissance.
Not the specific option.
but just the notion. I think of it as
the Dark Ages or the bubonic plague in Europe.
That was my term. That was my term.
Is this a subtle allusion to some vote trading that's about to occur today, Dan?
I'm just curious, honestly. I mean, was the option great. Of...
I think Commissioner Leonard actually answered that question when he was addressing Stephanie Stewart earlier this morning. Yes, he considered it, but made the direction or decision that, you know, that just nothing had changed, that opposition to doing anything in Mount Tabor was adamant. And so he directed us to build new storage as opposed to try and continue to look at burying the reservoirs at Tabor.
Thank
you. Any other discussion? All right. This is a procurement item, so I need a motion to accept.
So move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Carla, would you please call the roll on the motion?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
First, thank you to all of the community members who've been here for 4 hours and for your advocacy on behalf of the reservoirs over many years and on behalf of our community and our drinking water. It's an issue that matters to everyone. Certainly the rates matter to everyone. And I appreciate that the community folks came to me in July and said, we wanted to try a different approach and we're willing to do this. To advocate for something which we never thought we would be advocating for. And I appreciate the amount of work that's gone in. I thank Steve Keller for reading through the list of all of the organizations who have signed on to this approach. That was not easy to get that coalition together of many varied folks, all willing to take another look at, is there a better way to comply with the federal rule? And so I appreciate you taking the time to come to talk about it today. Corvallis, Astoria, Salem, they all use these covers on their reservoirs. It's clearly something that's legal in the state of Oregon and that other communities have accepted. And the cost is at least $100 million more for this, the plan to go for the tank at Kelly Butte and the tank underneath one of the the Washington Park reservoirs. And the capacity is reduced in the current plan. So we have less storage when we know that there are more people coming to live in our area. This proposal, the contract moves forward down a path that costs the ratepayers $100 million more than this other option. We have to respond to our ratepayers' concerns. And I greatly appreciate this discussion. And actually, I appreciate all of my colleagues' participation. And I acknowledge, Commissioner Leonard, that there has been some very derogatory discussion directed towards you, and that is very hurtful. And it's not helpful. We're going to have another exciting hearing tomorrow discussing the fluoridation of Bull Run water, and it's going to be important for us all to listen to each other respectfully and understand that reasonable people can and do disagree. And on this one, reasonable people can and do disagree. No.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Well, I appreciate the dialogue. But I've been consistent on this issue. Maybe it's because I'm transportation commissioner and we have 147 transportation bridges or structures in the city. We've got on top of that all the Willamette River bridges, and this city council has made its largest single general transportation revenue investment in a bridge we don't own based on its condition and its seismic rating. And for me, making the most cost-effective decision is absolutely key. So is making the decision that's going to protect and ensure the safety of everyone that lives in this city. It's not a question of if there's an earthquake, it's only a question of when. And this proposal puts storage where we have inadequate secure storage, where right now we don't have it. And in the process of doing that, makes the overall secure storage system more efficient. That's, for me, is the cost benefit of basic water security, I think Portlanders will accept. Does anyone like paying more for utilities? Absolutely not. But it depends a lot how you ask the question. If we ask the question about the current, do they want to upgrade, a basic upgrade to the current unsound water system of the city, I think we would have a different answer. This has been a journey for all of us. When we chose to fight back, it meant that if we had just accepted, you know, from the very beginning what the federal government wanted us to do, that journey wouldn't have a lot of discovery involved with it. But when we fight back, we win some, we lose some, and in the process of that, you've recognized, everyone has recognized that circumstances have changed as we've succeeded on one thing and not succeeded on another. But for me, in addition to all that, is as someone who's been around here a long time, the land use, the ability for this one option of covering the reservoirs to be gummed up for years through a land appeal, and it takes one person. That's just too much risk to take for a temporary solution, for a solution that will not leave Portlanders in a more secure place when it comes to the basic needs of water. This isn't a luxury. This is basic sustenance, and we're going to get an earthquake. So of those things combined, I support the investment in making our water systems more secure. And frankly, we're paying a premium so that they also look nice at the end of it. And no one talks about that. I think it's worth the premium. I want to thank Commissioner Leonard, who has more patience than I do in his leadership on this issue. It's been incredibly difficult. I think folks will look back and appreciate you making some very tough decisions here, and I want to thank you for that. And I also want to thank the team at the Water Bureau that serves the city so well. Aye. So approved. The sound of one person clapping. Yes, so...
morning agenda.
Can we do quickly blaze through, or you want to stop now? He's going to pass out.
We have like 4 second readings. My housing thing will take, mine will take no more than
what item is yours? What item is yours?
But we could break and come back, because mine's going to take 5 minutes. Yeah. We can wait after the break.
I've got planning and sustainability here. Will take 4 minutes, I promise.
Okay. Yeah, let's do color.
Can you please read the planning and sustainability comp plan change?
Item 995, amend Portland's comprehensive plan map and zoning map for properties along and near the Cully Boulevard Main Street.
Hi, what are we looking at here?
We're looking at one additional amendment to the plan that you endorsed last week.
Did we disseminate this proposed amendment?
I move the amendment. The amendment has been moved.
Any discussion on council? Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion to amend?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. This will move to a second reading and vote next week.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did you want to testify in this matter? All right. 999. Thanks, Jonna.
Corey? So we can't vote today?
Corey?
Yeah.
999.
Can you please read the title for 999?
Terminate tax exemption for properties under the single family, new construction, and residential rehabilitation, transit oriented development, and new multi unit housing limited tax programs.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. We will do this in record time. This presentation is part of the Portland Housing Bureau's regular reporting for its limited tax exemption program. Through that program, as you know, we forego tax revenue for a limited period of time, usually 10 years, in exchange for affordability in apartment buildings and new single-family homes. There are certain requirements attached to these exemptions. For example, the owner must live in his or her home, he or she must be under an income ceiling, and the like. Each year, we take a look at all the exemptions on the books and make sure that everyone is compliant with our guidelines. If not, we reach out to the property owner and ask them to confirm that they either are or are not in compliance with our requirements. If they are not, we terminate the exemption and put the property back on the tax rolls. We do this once a year through a council resolution. Today, we're asking for your authority to terminate 55 exemptions. 52 of them are single-family homes, 3 are condos. These proposed exemptions would be terminated for one of the following 3 reasons. First, the owner did not respond to our request for information, which we delivered via certified mail and followed up on extensively. Second, the building is not owner-occupied. Either the owner is renting it out or it's being held as an investment property. Third, the owner is over our income cap. Usually this means that the home was sold to a new owner whose income does not qualify for the exemption. Finally, the home may have been sold for a price over our cap. Terminating these exemptions will result in new tax revenue of just under $100,000 a year to all of the taxing jurisdictions. Dory is here today to answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, we'll seek your approval of this action.
Any questions for staff? Does anyone wish to testify on this
matter? No one signed up.
Carla, can you please call the vote on the resolution?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Commissioner Fish and staff, thank you for your diligence in making sure that this program is used properly. Aye.
Fish?
Very briefly, through the creation of the new Portland Housing Bureau, this function of administering and reviewing tax, the exemption program was shifted to the Portland Housing Bureau. And our team has been working diligently not only to update the program and align it better with our policies, but also to make sure that we're accountable for the abatements that we grant. Recently, we came to council with the Big Look, which represented a significant overhaul of our limited tax exemption programs, aligning them better with our, mayor's looking at me, aligning them better with our policies. Today, we're continuing to fulfill our duty of making sure that every dollar invested in this program is done wisely. I want to thank staff for doing a terrific job administering a very complicated program. Please to vote aye.
Adams.
And because I have such great confidence in the leadership of Nick Fish, you and your team, my comments will be to say simply thank you. So approved. We have folks here for the 2 o'clock already. We've been in session since early this morning, so I need.
So we still have.
Are you okay to do the second readings?
Just so no. If we could just finish our agenda up to the 2 o'clock and then just
great.
To take a little.
All right. Can you please read the. Yeah. Title and call the vote for item number 996.
Allow Portland Police Bureau to accept gifts from organizations to fund emergency services for survivors of domestic violence or human trafficking or other uniquely vulnerable individuals in immediate need of emergency help. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for item number 998?
Assess benefited properties for sanitary sewer improvements in the Royal Highlands Phase 2 Local Improvement District. Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 998 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for item number 1000?
Have we done 995?
We did.
Okay.
Assess property for sidewalk repair by the Bureau of Maintenance. Saltzman?
Okay. Yeah.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1000 approved. Can you please read the title for 1000-1, Emergency Ordinance?
Ratify a settlement agreement and memorandum of understanding between the city on behalf of the Portland Police Bureau and the Portland Police Association that fully resolves and settles grievances regarding coaches' pay, shift differential pay, and the VCAD system.
Any discussion from council? Anyone wish to testify on 1000-1? Carla, would you please call the vote? Emergency ordinance 1000-1.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Just have to note that this agreement successfully resolves the Police Bureau's grievance against our new computer-aided dispatch system in the Bureau of Emergency Services, and the resolution is that they will have a member on the committee, and they would withdraw all their other grievances on that matter. And I'm very happy with that result. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.